On New Year's Eve, the nursing home sent their ambulance round for him at around 6. These two young fellas wheeled him out. I couldn't cry, because then the fellas would know something was wrong. As far as they knew, I was coming to fetch him at 11 the next morning. I just kissed him on the top of his head and told him to be good, and then I held it in until I'd seen them leave. Then I wept for about an hour. He'd ruined my life, but he was still my son, and I was never going to see him again. I'd never been to Topper's house before. I didn't even know for sure that you could get onto the roof any more, but the door was open and I just walked up the stairs until I couldn't walk any further. They'd put this wire up, and there were curved railings with spikes on the top. I began to panic. I'm not tall, and I'm not very strong, and I couldn't see how I was going to get over the top of it, and I had to that night because of Matty being in the home. And then I saw Martin. He'd done things properly. He'd brought a stepladder and some wire cutters, and he'd managed to climb over the top. He was sitting on the ledge, dangling his feet, smoking, thinking. I waited and waited until I couldn't wait any more. I went up to him, put my hand through the wire and tapped him on the shoulder. I only wanted to ask him if he was going to be long.
I'd forgotten about the whole Topper's house thing until I started speaking to this guy. He gave me a fag and told me his name was Bong, because he always smoked his weed out of a bong. Bong looked at me and went, "You're not thinking of going up on the roof, are you? Because I can see the pain and desperation in your eyes." Looking back on it, I'm pretty sure that what he could see in my eyes was 7 Bacardi breezers and 2 cans of special brew. I went, "Oh, really?" And he went, "Yeah. See, I've been put on suicide watch, and I've been told to look out for people who want to go upstairs." And I was like, "What happens upstairs?" And he laughed. "This is Topper's house, man, where people kill themselves." I would never have thought of it if he hadn't said that. Everything suddenly made sense. Chaz didn't want me, and I suddenly realised that the best thing to do was make my life as short as I possibly could. It was so neat. I wanted to make my life short, and I was at a party in Topper's house. It was like a message from God. OK, it was disappointing that all God had to say was, "Jump off a roof," but what else was he supposed to tell me? I could feel the weight of everything that had gone wrong. Jumping felt like the only way to get rid of it. I felt so heavy that I knew I'd hit the street in no time. I'd beat the world record for falling off a tower block.
I felt this thump on my back, and I turned round, grabbed the railings and started yelling. I was drunk. I'd had a skinful before I came out, so I let rip with a bit of vocabulary. I think I might even have used the C-word, for which I've apologised. She just stared. "I know you," she said. People come up to me in restaurants and theatres and urinals all over Britain and say, "I know you." They invariably mean, "I don't know you, but I've seen you on the telly." And they want an autograph or a chat about what Penny Chambers is like in real life. That night, it seemed a bit beside the point. "Oh, for Christ's sake, have you got a pen? A bit of paper? And before you ask, she's a right bitch who will snort anything and fuck anybody. What are you doing here, anyway?" "I wanted to borrow your ladder."
"Be my guest."
"I'll wait until..."
"You're going to stand there and watch?"
"Of course not. You'll be wanting to do it on your own. I'll go over there."
Maureen went to the other side of the roof, and I turned around and lowered myself back onto the ledge. But the moment had gone. Before Maureen arrived, I'd been in the zone, entirely focused on all the reasons I was up there. But the conversation had distracted me. I couldn't get the mood back. I hadn't changed my mind. I knew I'd have to do it sometime. It's just that I wasn't going to be able to do it in the next 5 minutes. I shouted at Maureen,
"Oi! You want to swap? See how you get on?"
Maureen approached the fence cautiously.
"You've got 20 minutes, then I want my spot back."
"How are you going to get back over this side?"
I hadn't thought of that. The stepladder only worked one way. There wasn't enough room on my side of the railings to open it out.
"You'll have to put up with me being here."
I wasn't sure I wanted to climb over to the other side anyway. The railings marked a boundary. You could get to the stairs from the roof and the street from the stairs, and from the street you could get to Cindy and the kids and Tina and her dad, and everything else that had blown me up here as if I were a crisp packet in a gale.
Why can't you shuffle round to the other side of the roof?
Why can't you? It's my ladder.
You're not much of a gentleman.
No, that's one of the reasons I'm up here. Don't you read the papers?
I look at the local one sometimes.
What do you know about me?
You used to be on the TV.
That's it?
Yes.
So why do you think I want to kill myself?
I've no idea.
You're pissing me around.
I'm not, and would you mind watching your language? I find it offensive.
Sorry.
I couldn't believe it. I'd found someone who didn't know. It seemed impossible that there was anyone in Britain uninterested in what I'd done.
What about your belt?
She nodded at my waist. Put it round the ladder, buckle it your side of the railings. I saw that it would work. She passed the ladder over the fence and I took my belt off, passed it round both ladder and railings, and buckled it up. I climbed back over, unbuckled the belt, and was just about to let Maureen jump in peace when this fucking lunatic came roaring at us.